Being wheeled out for a pre-flight check on the day before a big mission. The mission on which a man will try to fly higher into space than any man on our side of the Iron Curtain, or on the other side, as far as we know, has ever been. But first, before the flight can start, there are 20 hours of exacting preparations to be made. And they are only the last of an infinity of efforts. Months and years of effort, of blood, sweat, and tears which made this flight possible. A record-seeking flight into space is only the spectacular foam on top of a wave that has traveled thousands of miles before it can break on the beach of the unknown. A space mission is like a battle. It can happen only because of untold sagas of self-sacrifice and heroic devotion which preceded it and now make it possible. And that battle, like the wave breaking on the beach, is only a temporary advancement until the next wave or the next battle on the way to eventual victory or defeat. This flight, millions of people are hoping, will go well beyond the world's altitude record established on September 7, 1956, by Captain Ivan C. Kinchlow, Jr. in an early high-altitude airplane, the X-2. For a few seconds in his historic flight, Captain Kinchlow, in the now archaic rocket plane X-2, had been unable to control his aircraft. He had hit the fringe of space, the edge of the vacuum. As he climbed above 100,000 feet and headed for his world record of 126,200 feet, he was above the atmosphere at 23.9 miles straight up, the first man to escape the sea of air which surrounds the Earth. So his conventional control surfaces, ailerons, rudder, and elevators had no air against which they could work. Kinch, in his uncomfortable old-fashioned MC4 pressure suit cramped into his tiny cockpit, was tossed end for end with his plane. Like the plane, he was buffeted and beaten as it flipped, spun, and rolled out of control. He had to wait an interminable 30 seconds until the craft had fallen back into the Earth's atmosphere and the air grew thick enough so his controls could take effect. Space is usually defined as the area beyond the Earth's atmosphere, and the Earth's atmosphere is virtually non-existent from 100,000 feet up. Tongues of weak atmosphere may extend beyond that level, but practically at the 100,000-foot level, the void is beginning. The wild black yonder where there are no air particles to reflect the sunlight and carry sound. At Kinchlow's altitude, there would be no more than a cupful of air in a cubic mile. So, in a sense, for a few seconds, he was the first spaceman. NASA disagrees, says that space begins at 100 miles out. Harrison Storms, chief engineer at North American Aircraft's Los Angeles division, which built the X-15, believes it starts at 90,000 feet or 17 miles. The X-15, the big black rocket, was designed to go beyond that. 1 year after the Kinchlow record, construction was started on the X-15. Planning for the craft had actually begun way back in 1952. Since, as technology advances in the space age, lead time for planning and building a missile increases immensely. That lead time, however, was accelerated after Kinchlow's record flight in the X-2. Kinch, the blonde, handsome, dedicated Air Force pilot, of whom it was once said that he had been sent from Central Casting for the part of number one space pilot, was to have been the ranking Air Force jockey for the X-15. He didn't live long enough for the job. On July 26, 1958, aged 30, he was killed when his hot fighter plane, an F-104, not unlike a missile, lost its engine on takeoff from Edwards. He tried to roll his 9-ton mount onto its back so that he could eject and take to his silk. But he got just halfway over. His ejection seat blasted him clear of the plane, but his parachute opened only partially and he fell to his death. Of Kinchlow, we will write more later.